Gonna miss out,
she said, dropping her robe in front of him on the way to the bathroom. When she was gone, he turned back to the phone. Rick, I asked Gina to marry me.
What, Qua? You getting married, man?
Yeah, I'm gonna have a big wedding.
Well, what's up? I'm waiting.
Oh, yeah, and I want you to be my best man.
That's because you know I'm the best nigga out here.
You gonna be my best man or what?
Oh, nigga, stop bitching. You know I got your back. However, there is a problem.
What?
You selling keys for $5,000 is a motherfucking problem, man.
I'm not selling them for no five. I'm selling them for 10.
What's the fucking difference?
How is you playing with this 10 shit?
Look, me and Gina are about to go to Atlantic City. When I get back, I'm gonna come see you. I got something for you.
When are you coming back?
I'll be back later on tonight, and then we'll talk.
Pick me and Lita up some Gucci sneakers while you're down there.
They gave each other the salams and hung up the phone. While Kadir and Gina were walking on the Atlantic City boardwalk waiting for their dinner reservation, the Junior Mafia was having a meeting in the southwest part of the city. Jarrell was pacing a trail in his peach carpet, talking on the phone.
I don't understand why no one is buying weight, and no one knows why,
he asked, as he stared around the room, using his eyes to demand an explanation. Finally, someone spoke up.
No one is buying. For the past 3 days, no one has called or needed anything or nothing.
Kyrie, I figured that out since none of y'all motherfuckers got my money.
Jordan looked at Jarrell.
No one is buying weight.
Jarrell looked at all of them as if they were thieves.
Well, he finally asked, who owes us money?
No one from this end owes us anything, said Kyrie.
The caps are moving, but the bricks are just sitting there, said Mont.
Well, do something about it,
Jarrell shouted.
What do we do?
Said Kyrie.
Figure it the fuck out. Somebody got it. They're getting coke from somewhere. It's not like motherfuckers stop getting high,
said Jarrell. Ran arrived, gave and received acknowledgement of his presence as Jarrell continued.
Ran, where the fuck is Reese and Derek?
Jarrell did not like anyone to miss his shareholders' meetings. He felt it was important. It brought everyone in the Junior Mafia together. The meetings were short but informative, or at least Jarrell thought so. After everyone left, Jarrell paged Reese, then Derek. He was really starting to worry, not so much about them, but about the five bricks and $3 million they were carrying. A few minutes of pacing with Ran behind him, Jarrell spoke again.
You know, I really don't like this shit. Somebody that gets rid of 10 kilos every day ain't moved a motherfucking thing all week.
Who?
Kyrie,
he said, walking out of the room. Ran, following, asked, well, why not?
I don't know.
Mark picked up the ringing phone.
Yo, man, where you at?
It was Skip.
I'm at the hospital. You're not gonna believe this shit. The cops just brought Reese and Derek here. I saw them pull them from the back of a fucking paddy wagon. The cops are everywhere. I got to get out of this lobby and get back in the room with my girl.
Yo, Skip, hold up. Jarrell wants you.
Taking the phone, Jarrell inquired of Skip.
What the fuck is going on?
The cops just brought Derek and Reese in here. Man, get somebody down here. My girl just went into delivery. I'm saying, it fucked me up, Ock. I don't think Reese is gonna make it. Call Reese's girl and get her ass down here. I got to go.
The news spread through the city like wildfire. Jarrell's right-hand man, Reese, was dead. Derek was listed in critical condition, however, and would be arrested upon his recovery. Reese and Derek led a high-speed chase through the city, fatally shot a police officer and wounded another. They got away, then crashed into a wall on Lincoln Drive. The police did not call for an ambulance. They just drew the bodies in the back of a paddy wagon, hoping they would die. The Volvo they were driving was taken into custody. The police reportedly found 2 guns, 5 kilos of cocaine, and $1 million.
Tonight's the night.
Things changed, and they changed real fast. Kadir met with Rick and decided to hand him the rest of his cocaine supply in exchange for $250,000. He arranged for Reds and Rasun to do business directly with Rick. Amar and the other brothers he dealt with were free to do as they pleased, but Rick's price was better than Kadir's, so the money stayed in the family. Then there was Gina, who was becoming unbearable to deal with. She knew something was going on, but she didn't know what it was. Kadir wondered if the gossip about Sherelle having his daughter was in the street. He figured it was. That was why she asked him. She came right out one night after dinner and asked whether he had a daughter by the girl, and he told her no. That was all she wanted to hear and left it alone. Why hadn't he said yes? He wished he could have freed his conscience. Instead, he went out and bought her a baby blue Mercedes-Benz 300 CE with a license plate tag that read, "My CE." Sherelle, on the other hand, continued to dare him. "Fuck me, suck me, and give me more loot. Or if you don't, I'm gonna tell." Kadir was tired of dealing with her. He knew he could not take much more. He was gonna tell Gina. The only problem was what Gina would do. The worst thing he did was get Gina the car. She didn't know how to act now, gone all the time. He had to get her a pager shortly thereafter, just to keep up. Every time he paged her, she was at the mall, or on her car phone, never home. "Hey, baby, what are you doing?"
"Oh, nothing, shopping. Meet me at the party, because I'm not coming home to get dressed. Gotta go. But dear, I need another cellular battery."
And with that, Gina was out spending drug money, keeping the economy alive. 9,000 here, another 8,000 there. She just shopped. Anything that was more than 10,000 had to have Kadir's approval and his credit card, but don't think it could not be obtained. Gina picked up both Lita and Tracy and headed to Black's party. She had already told Kadir to catch a ride with Rick so she can hang with the girls. Lita couldn't get over the 10-carat diamond engagement ring. Kadir had really outdone himself. Tariq told her it was 10, but hearing about it and actually seeing it was two different things. She herself had a 4-carat diamond, and once Rick told her about Gina's ring, Lita told him to upgrade her shit and make it snappy.
"Do you see all the attention we're getting just from this car?" asked Tracy.
"No. Do you see these motherfuckers staring with no understanding?" asked Lita.
Mm-hmm.
Gina already knew and understood the attention her man got in the street. What she didn't understand was why he lied about it and kept her in the dark.
"Kadir is so good to you. I hope I find a man that buys me shit like this," whined Tracy.
"This is Quadir's conscience. Mm-hmm. He knows he fucked up, and it's only a matter of time. He buys me shit to make himself feel better. That's why he went out and got me this car, to try to make up for some shit he can't even confess."
"Make up what?" asked Tracy.
"Sherelle and her baby."
"When did you find out?" asked Lita.
"I found out 4 days ago. Why didn't you tell me?"
"Bitch, Rick was gonna kill me. I got a home, too. Don't think I didn't want to tell you, and I was going to. It's just that if you and Kadir broke up because of something I said, Tariq and Kadir would blame me. Besides, Gina, did that motherfucker get you 10 carats or what? Did he ask you to marry him?" Please, fuck Sherelle and her baby. That nigga don't want that broke bitch. Rick said the bitch ain't nothing but a whore, and Kadir can't stand her. Rick fucked her, too. Don't feel bad. Mm-hmm. Rick said they both fucked her. I think they did the joint together.
Gina just looked at Lita. She hated the way she knew everything and just could hold it inside. Gina's motto was,
tell me, because I'm telling it all.
In Gina's mind, the fact that Kadir would not tell her could only mean that he was still fucking with Sherelle. Gina was scared of losing him, the house, ring, Mercedes-Benz, and all. A baby was a bond, and Gina didn't have that with him. She was jealous. What ifs popped through her mind. Kadir telling her he was leaving her. Gina couldn't take that. She would probably faint or beg him not to leave. She didn't want him to be with Sherelle, and she didn't want Sherelle to have any money either. But she knew Sherelle existed before her, and Sherelle had a baby. The other side said, fuck it. He wants the bitch, then he can have the bitch. That was tough because not only would she give up her man, but also her lifestyle. Gina wasn't about to lose Kadir. She would fight for him to the end. Wasn't no way she was going to give up all the shit that made her life happy. He was hers. He'd asked her to marry him. Kadir had a baby with someone else? Asked Tracy.
Who do you think we're talking about?
Asked Gina. Kadir got a baby by Sherelle. For some reason, Tracy kept asking the question over and over.
That little tramp had the nerve to name it Quanda.
Gina seethed.
Kadir must be out of his mind or just stupid if he think I don't know what the fuck is going on.
I seen her too the other day. She did have a baby with her, said Tracy.
Did you see it?
Asked Gina. No, I didn't see the baby. I wanted to it look like him, said Tracy, passing the spliff to Lita.
Shit, it ought to look like him. As much money as he give to the bitch.
Damn, look at all those people waiting to get in. They had reached the club and smoothly pulled up to the entrance to take a look.
Well, you know everybody was going to come out to Black's party. You know how it is.
I hope we can get in, said Tracy.
We will,
said Gina, parking the car. The girls turned the corner and walked down the street. People were everywhere.
Is this the club Sahira was at?
Asked Gina. No, she was at Chances, responded Lita.
Rahsaan.
Gina called out his name, spotting him walking down the street with Reds.
What's up?
Nothing, baby. Just came to do my thing, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to meet one of your girlfriends. What's up with that?
Here, meet Tracy.
Damn, baby, you looking mighty good tonight.
Where's Kadir?
Asked Gina, seeing that Tracy didn't seem interested. I don't know. I haven't seen him. Him and Rick are probably inside, said Lita. Come on, he said, as he ushered everyone to the door. He told the bouncer, they were me, boss, who stood aside, admitting them without hesitation. Once inside, Rahsaan asked the women, you all right now? Yeah. Where are you going? I'm going to mingle and jingle, he said, looking at Tracy as if she didn't know what she was missing. Gina and Lita went looking for Kadir and Rick, while Tracy talked to some guys she knew from junior high. Gina led the way through the crowd, bumping into someone who she knew every step of the way.
Damn, everybody in here or what?
Yeah, looks like the crew's in the house, said Lita. Hey, Gina, baby, said Quinny Day, giving her a hug. Hey, Lita, baby, he said, doing the same thing to her. Goodness gracious, the Lord has truly blessed us all when he put y'all on the face of the earth. God bless America.
Quinny Day, what's up? Asked Lita.
Nothing, baby, just kicking it.
You seen Kadir and Rick?
Yeah, they're downstairs, all the way in the back of the table. Gina, do Qua know you're dressed like that?
Like what?
She said, looking down at herself.
You're gonna hurt something, baby.
You're definitely out to hurt something up in this motherfucker, and I got to get away from you, cause it's not gonna be me.
Corny Day, shut up.
She told him as she moved toward the stairs to go find Qua. Everybody was in the house. Amin was sitting in a corner with a couple of bottles of champagne on his table, surrounded by at least five girls.
Damn, said Lita. You see how he's playing?
I see how Quadir's playing,
said Gina, noting that Qua was talking to some girl.
Who's that?
She asked Lita.
I don't know, but whoever it is, don't you start nothing in here tonight, you hear?
Qua looked up, sensing Gina, and noticed that she didn't look too happy.
Rick, he said, nudging his friend. Rick spotted the girls, and he turned to Black and started talking. Qua was getting frustrated with Sherelle. It was the same old thing.
I'm your baby's mother, and you don't do shit for me or your baby. I need some money.
Look, I'll call you, Kadir said, walking away from her and heading for Gina.
Who's that? She asked, looking at Sherelle standing behind Kadir. Kadir had no idea the girl was right behind him.
Where is Tariq? Why doesn't someone usher her away? Why does Gina look like that? Thought Kadir, feeling extremely uncomfortable as Gina stared at him and Sherelle.
Gina, this is Sherelle. Sherelle, this is my wife.
I'm his daughter's mother, said Sherelle, correcting Kadir.
Oh, shit, said Lita. Rick, go break it up before something gets started.
Bitch, everywhere I'm at, you want to be. I know who you are. Quadir told me all about you.
Whatever,
said Sherelle, throwing her hand like Gina didn't know what she was talking about.
So what you want? He don't got nothing for you. How many times the motherfucker told you to stop calling our house?
Then Gina punched Sherelle in the face, grabbing her hair with her left and throwing nothing but rights. By the time Kadir and Rick stepped in, Gina had handled her business. Even after they had separated the shit and the music had stopped, you can still hear Gina.
Bitch, please, you one of the motherfuckers that need your ass whooped every day. Fuck with Quadir if you want to, bitch, and see what the fuck happens.
All said in one breath, ready to throw down again over the bullshit. As the music returned and Sherelle was escorted away as usual, Kadir went to explain. The problem was that Gina didn't care. She would beat up Sherelle every day if she had to. Kadir knew he should have told her. Not only did he not tell her, he lied about the girl and the baby. Kadir led her to the table and fixed her hair, poured her some champagne while attempting to explain.
I send the paper to her through Rasan. Don't think I deal with her, Gina. I can't stand the girl,
he said, shaking his head, trying to figure out why Gina had to bring her Richard Allen bullshit to Black's party. He knew that shit was going to happen sooner or later, though, and he was so glad Gina beat her up. He didn't know what to do. Sherelle made him sick, always taxing him, and wouldn't even let him see the little baby half the time.
Quadir, I don't care. I can handle the truth. I can't handle lies. You put me on the spot. I should be able to handle a situation because you hit me to it. Not because I heard the shit through the grapevine. I ask you, and I don't know what to believe. I can't believe you left me in the dark like that. I'm really mad at you. You should have got me a Rolls Royce for this shit. It would have got you out the doghouse a lot sooner than a CE.
Gina, said Bridget, walking over to the scene. I'm so glad you didn't tear this motherfucker up.
I don't know what y'all gonna do with her simple ass, said Rick, shaking his head.
Put the bitch in the river, said Black.
I tried to tell him, said Rick.
Well, I'll be at Saks tomorrow getting all over this,
Gina said, kissing him so that everybody would see that they were happy and nothing had changed. Black wanted Rick and Kadir to come with him to the bar. It was too many girls crowding Lita and Gina.
The guys understood. Everyone would be talking about that ass-whooping for days to come. Before he got up to go with his friends, Gina leaned over and whispered in Kadir's ear,
"Is there anything else I should know about?"
she asked calmly. "There is so much stuff you should know about, I wouldn't know where to begin," he thought to himself. "No, and if there was, I would tell you," he said, ever so sincere. He got up to leave, and Gina watched him as he walked across the floor.
"Damn, I love that motherfucker."
"We know. There's no doubt." Lita's sarcastic charm couldn't let that pass by. "Well, I know everybody thought the house was coming down," said Bridget.
"Shit, Gina did tear it down," Lita chimed in. "I'm glad Gina beat that bitch up, 'cause if she hadn't, it would have been a whole different story."
"Yeah, she dealt with the situation rather well, didn't she?" said Bridget.
"Better than me, 'cause I would have killed the bitch," said Lita, looking at Bridget as if to say, "Now try your luck with Rick."
Gina left the table and followed Kadir. Qua poured her a glass of Dom and walked her to a table, with Rick and Black opposite them ordering another bottle of champagne.
"It's crowded in here, Qua."
"I know. Too crowded for me."
"So, that is Sherelle,"
she said. "Yeah, that's her."
"Well, she's better looking than I thought."
"She don't look good to me, and I don't want to talk about her no more."
She wanted to have a good time and decided that, as the saying goes, there's no need crying over spilled milk. She kissed her man gently on the lips and went back to the table with Lita and Tracy. A hush rustled through the club a minute or so later when Pam came in. Her entrance was definitely remarkable. Pam was sharp. She knew exactly what to do with Black's money. She wore it well.
"Where's Bridget? 'Cause she could get her ass kicked next up in this motherfucker," whispered Lita, nodding Pam's way so Gina could see what she was talking about.
"Mm-hmm. That's another one that's gonna end up getting hurt for fucking with somebody's man. Shit, Bridget gots to be crazy. Ain't no dick worth having to deal with Pam. I don't know how Black even finds bitches crazy enough to fuck with him, 'cause Pam don't be bullshitting."
"Oh yeah, Pam rolls on motherfuckers about her man,"
agreed Gina.
"Shit, the motherfuckers been together since 8th grade.
"Where's Tracy?"
Gina asked.
"She's over there talking to Muhammad," pointed Lita.
"Oh,"
said Gina.
"Maybe I found her a friend."
"She looks like she needs one," said Lita,
glad she didn't seem to have to worry about her fucking with Rick. The guys had come back to the table with bottles of champagne. Black pulled out a spliff and started smoking it. Pam looked at him.
"Black," she said, "you're not supposed to do that."
"Who paid here, Pam, huh? Who?"
"You did, Black."
"Okay, then," he said, passing it to Qua.
"Sit your happy birthday ass down, nigga," said Rick. "Didn't nobody ask you who paid?"
Everybody was having a good time when Blair walked over to the table. He greeted everyone and gave his best wishes to Black.
"This is my wife, Blair. This is Gina."
"Oh, it's nice to meet you. Do you like your car?"
"I love my car. How do you know about my car?"
"He sold it to me," Qua told her.
"I suggested that he get that particular car. Do you like it?"
"Definitely," she cooed. "It's so blue."
"I know. I like that color."
He didn't get it, but it didn't matter. Just then, Andrea walked up to the tables as if she belonged.
"Girl, what are you wearing?"
asked Gina.
"Looks like nothing to me," whispered Qua.
"Nigga, you better stop looking,"
said Gina with an evil glow.
"Do you like it?"
asked Andrea.
"Do you?"
Gina hissed,
nudging Lita under the table. Gina wanted Andrea and her see-through dress away from her man, far the fuck away. You could see, but you couldn't see. It was one of those dresses that would make you stare until you did see something.
"Thank God it's dim in here," said Andrea.
"How could a person come out looking like that?" said Lita, challenging the girl.
"Oh, shit,"
Gina thought.
"Here goes Lita."
Qua was looking. Everybody was looking. And Andrea just played it off all the while, deeply knowing that they were all jealous of her. She was body. And those bitches, especially Lita, were jealous. Of course, Rick's slobbering on himself didn't help. Kim, from out of nowhere, walked up to the table.
"Andrea," she said, hugging her.
"Oh, no, they got to go away from here," said Lita with her eyes on Rick the whole time.
"So, Gina, what's up? How you been?" said Kim.
"Oh, I'm fine,"
she said, expressing just how fine she was with her left hand.
"I heard about you, Kadia. You naughty, naughty boy," she said, hitting his hand as if that was just punishment.
"I'm glad. I'm glad you know now, Gina."
This bitch is crazy, thought Lita, looking at Gina, silently asking her if she wanted to roll on him. To ease the tension Rick was feeling from these unwelcome travelers of the night, he decided to add relevance.
"Does anyone have the time?"
Everyone especially looked at him as if he were crazy.
"Oh, I have a Rolex, I forgot."
"Damn, Black, where's the food at?" asked Kim.
"It's over there," said Black. Glad they'd gone over there before something was said and Pam came out of shit.
"That's 40, right?" whispered Kim, starbound.
"Yeah, that's 40 in the blue," said Lita.
Pausing, she added,
"I heard he got Richard Allen locked."
"I heard he got a nice shot,"
whispered Gina as she sipped her champagne.
"Mm-hmm, I heard that shit too," said Lita, looking at him, wondering if his dick was as big as everyone made it out to be.
"I heard 40 eats the shit out of some pussy too,"
whispered Gina, knowing the rumors had to be true.
"Would you fuck him?"
asked Lita as the girls looked 40 up and down.
"No,"
snickered Gina as Kadia wrapped his arm around her.
"I would," thought Tracy to herself.
"Oh, shit. There goes Jamal,"
Gina noted to herself. It had been such a long time since she had last seen him. Sahira's funeral. That was the last time, as a matter of fact, with bitch-ass Kim on his hip. Gina just turned away and pretended she hadn't even noticed him. She didn't fool Qua, though. He saw everything. Just then, Brother Raymir came by with greetings.
"Assalamu alaikum," said Brother Raymir.
"Alaikum assalam," said Kadir, as the brother greeted Rick and Black.
"How you doing, Bridget?"
"Hi, how you doing, Raymir?"
Gina could tell something was up. Bridget had too many skeletons in her closet for there not to be something going on. Rich Green, Charlie, Kevin, Coleone, Winston, Amar, Rock, Black, all the big boys, their brothers and cousins, the list went on and on. Rasun and Reds came downstairs.
"Black, where did you get the girl in the see-through dress to do your party?" asked Rasun.
"I want her at my party," said Reds.
"I didn't get no naked lady," said Black, as if the young boys were bugging.
"They talking about the whore Andrea," said Lita. Gina started laughing.
"She came like that, Rasun."
"Well, damn, I thought she was getting paid to wear that."
"My bucks, they've grown up, haven't they, y'all?" said Qua.
Everybody toasted to Quad's squad of young boys.
Damn, I really thought you paid a motherfucker to dress up like that, said Rasun.
Maybe soon all of them will dress like that, said Reds.
I hope so, said Ra.
If you pay them enough, they'll do anything you want, said Raymir, looking at Bridget, remembering the night he and two of his boys did her in a hotel room. Sis was a serious gun. He couldn't take his eyes off of her.
Qua, come on, let's go upstairs.
Black and Rick got up from the table.
Q, you coming or what?
Asked Black. Gina, stay here. I'll be right back, said Qua.
Why do they always say stay here?
Gina asked Lita.
They don't want you to follow them because they don't want to get caught.
I'm tired. What time is it?
Gina looked at her Rolex, answering her own question. What time is it? Asked Pam.
It's 4 o'clock,
she said, looking at her cousin standing over by the bar.
I'll be right back.
She left the table and walked straight over to Bria and Brianna.
What are you two doing here? How did you get in? You're only 16.
We came with this guy, said Brianna.
Bria, I don't know why you're standing there with an attitude. You should be at home. I can tell on you, you know,
said Gina.
You gonna tell anyway, cause that's how you roll. So what difference does it make? She said, staring Gina eye to eye.
Have you been drinking, Bria? Oh my God. Both of y'all been drinking. You need to go home. Now.
Said Gina.
Why? You go home.
Bria said as she walked away looking for her ride home.
She got so much to say for someone who never says anything to me at all. She lucky I don't hurt her in here.
Said Gina.
Gina, don't pay Bria no mind.
Brianna, what are you doing in here? You're not supposed to be in this club. If God get new.
Gina didn't even want to think of what would happen to them.
I bet she knows you're not in the house and is worried half to death.
Suddenly, Gina thought she was in a Western film in the middle of a cattle stampede. Her heart stopped as the sound of gunfire unleashed itself above. People were scrambling, trying to find safety. Screaming could be heard above and below, and a mad rush for the lower level caused people to trample over one another and fall down the stairs. Gina grabbed Brianna's arm and took her behind the bar.
Stay down,
she said, as the girls huddled about for safety. The gunfire was ongoing, and Gina could distinguish the sounds of several different guns. It was true blue pandemonium. The music had suddenly stopped, and Gina realized that the quiet before the storm was the result of the DJ's panic in separating the plug from its outlet while scrambling under his turntables in a move focused completely toward survival. The lower level was now filled with all those who had been upstairs. A last shot was fired and silence reigned. Slowly, almost as one, the members of Black's birthday party began lifting their heads and looking about, but no one moved, as if to do so would violate the certainty the silence inspired. And through the silence, Gina heard her own certainty calling to her.
Gina! Gina! Gina!
It was her man. He was covered with blood, but he was alive, and that was all that mattered.
Quadir!
Gina popped up from behind the counter.
Baby, come on. We got to get out of here.
I'm so glad you're okay, baby. I was so worried. I was so scared. Qua, look at you. You didn't get shot, did you?
Qua seen that she was shaking as if a seizure was imminent.
Gina, calm down.
He suddenly noticed something wrong with the picture, as though anything could be wronger.
What are you doing here, Brianna?
I don't know, but this is not where I'm trying to be, she said with a personable attitude.
Why? What happened?
Gina was still rooted to the spot as Pam and Lita ran over to them. Lita's expression changed rapidly from hope to loss and back to hope again.
Hugh, where's Rick?
Kadir stopped, turned around to her, and took Lita by the shoulders.
Lita, Rick got hit. He's upstairs.
Lita, I can't stay. You got to help Rick, baby. You got to stay with Rick and don't tell the police shit. Black got hit too.
What? Said Pam as she pushed away to get to the stairs.
Oh my God, Qua, what is going on?
Gina, baby, I don't know.
Is it safe to go outside?
Baby, I don't know. Where's the Benz? Asked Qua.
On Market Street, 2 blocks down, right on the corner of 58th.
This is what I want you to do. Wait for me upstairs.
Wait for me,
he said, as they reached the top of the stairs. She handed him the keys. Gina, stay inside.
I will. Qua, please be careful, baby.
Pam and Lita were frantically searching for Black and Rick among the bodies, lying under tables or slumped in booths. Gina, surveying the carnage, couldn't believe what her eyes told her was the truth. There were 5 to 10 people lying dead in pools of blood. Others were hit and injured. Gina, unable to move, looked from one face to another, hoping to see Black or Rick. Pam stopped dead, seeing the suit, knowing the shoes, recognizing the jewelry as her mind was telling her she'd found the one she searched for, her breath frozen in her throat. Finally, she screamed,
"Oh my God, no, no, baby, please, no, not Black!"
Brianna was nauseous as Pam stood there looking at flesh parts covered in blood. But through the blood, the parts of his body that no one ever saw, the organs whose job it was to keep Black walking, talking, smiling, reproducing, thinking and functioning under the covering of skin that protected them, were now outside his body. The skin blown apart by the force of the infrared Glock 45 covered the walls. It looked as if the protective covering keeping everything together had been shredded off of him. He was gone. Black was gone. Gina heard another voice call out,
"Oh my God, Rick!"
Lita was shouting,
"Please, where you at, man? Come on, Rick, answer me!"
At the top of her lungs. Gina saw a chair moving, hope filling her and replacing the horror.
"Lita, over here."
She pointed toward the corner. It was him. It was Rick, under a table.
"Lita, don't move him. Wait for the ambulance. Do not move him."
Lita found her way to him. "Okay, okay. Rick, baby, can you hear me?" She gently covered his hand with hers, continuing to murmur gently. Pam was in shock, unaware of anything going on around her. People were trying to get out of there, giving thanks to God it wasn't them on the floor. As they glanced at the bodies and the blood, no one stopped to acknowledge the others who were looking for loved ones, friends, and grieving over what they found.
"Here's Qua,"
Brianna said, hanging out the doorway. Gina looked at her friend.
"Lita, I got to go."
But Lita didn't respond. She took a deep breath, ordering herself to function.
"Okay, Gina."
"Can you help Pam?"
asked Gina.
"Pam? Pam who? My man might die, Gina. Shit, can she help me? 'Cause Black is gone, and I don't want to lose mines. Please don't leave me, Tyreek."
She held his hand and started crying.
"Where the fuck is the paramedics?"
she hollered. Gina grabbed her friend's shoulder, trying to calm her down before she left.
"We'll page you."
Brianna and Gina ran over to the Benz, where Kadir had the doors opened, ready to speed them away.
"Black is dead."
At that moment, Kadir went cold. He couldn't think. Dead? Black? He couldn't believe it. He didn't want to believe it.
"What happened, Qua?" "I don't know. It happened so fast. They just started shooting at us. Damn! Why Black? And Rick?"
he hollered as he pounded his fist on the steering wheel. Together, Rick and he were standing on the wall directly across the bar where Black was. The mirrors on both sides of the wall bounced a red light. Rick watched the light, and he told Kadir to look at it. The mirror told the ending before it even began. The light ended at black. As soon as they called out to him, the bullets rang. Within seconds, a bullet pierced Rick in the chest, causing him to spin and take a hit in the back before falling down on top of Kadir. Kadir reached on the side of Rick for his gun. Tariq used all his strength to grab his friend's arm.
"Don't go up, Kwa. If both of us die, who's gonna make it?"
he asked, as they stared each other in the eye.
"You ain't gonna die. Stop fucking with me, baby."
Kadir looked at his friend, who was half on the floor, half on him.
"Don't die on me, Rick."
Kadir wondered whether or not his friend was gonna make it. He was shot real bad. Checking the rearview mirror, his train of thought was completely interrupted.
"What is Brianna doing here?"
"Brianna, what do you call yourself doing? You're 16. You're not supposed to be out in no place like that. See what could have happened to you?"
Gina had never heard Kadir use such force in his voice.
"I know," she sniffed. "I came with this guy, that's all."
"Who's the guy?"
said Kwa, ready to wring someone's neck.
"His name is Charlie."
"Please don't let it be Quick Pockets Charlie," he thought to himself.
"Brianna, you stay out of those kinds of places until you're old enough to be in those kinds of places, you understand? When you turn 21, then you could go where you want. Until then, you need to keep yourself in the house where it's safe so you could get to be the age 21.
"Don't worry, I will."
Just then, a car pulled up alongside of the street and stopped in front of Gagit's house. A few seconds later, Bria hopped out and ran up to the door.
"What are you doing, Bria?"
hollered Kadir, glad it wasn't Quick Pockets Charlie she was with.
"Shh,"
she said, turning around to see Kadir, Gina, and Brianna.
"Gina, I'ma kill him. Let me catch you out again, Bria."
Kwa fussed, waiting for them to get in the door. He pulled the Benz off Gagit's block and went to a gas station. He drove on the sidewalk right up to the payphone, so he didn't have to get out of the car. He dialed Rick's pager, and within a few minutes, Lita returned the call. She was frantic, and Kwa soothed her and told her he would be right there. He slid back into the driver's seat and sped away. Lita was waiting for them in the hospital lobby.
"Come on," she said. "They got him back here."
She led them to a waiting room.
"Where's Black?"
"Black died, Kwa. They was putting him in a body bag when the paramedics took Rick out."
"Where's Pam?"
"I don't know, but she was just standing there until the paramedics took her."
"They took Pam?"
"Yeah, they took her too," said Lita. "I haven't seen Pam since we left the club."
"They let me ride in the truck with Rick while they brought him in here."
"Kwa, they was sticking him with all kinds of shit," Lita said as she started crying.
Kadir held her as Gina looked on, feeling horrible because they could do nothing.
"Lita, come on,"
she said, putting her arms around her friend.
"It's gonna be okay. Rick is gonna be fine. Rick is real strong and big. He'll pull through this."
"I know, Gina, but he was bleeding so bad, you know. What if he don't?" said Lita.
"Can't think like that. You gotta be strong, baby. You gotta be strong for him."
"You call his mother?" asked Kadir.
"No. Not yet."
"Well, somebody has to call his family," said Kwa.
"You can call them," said Lita,
knowing once they got there, they would take over. Kwa left to find a phone and called Rick's mom. Within 45 minutes, his entire family had arrived. Gina curled up on a couch and fell asleep. Kadir consoled Rick's mother while she spoke to the Lord and told the hospital staff at the same time about her precious baby, how good he was, how the Lord couldn't take him, and begging the doctor to save her baby. 7 hours later, a doctor walked into the waiting room and called out,
"Mrs. Smith?"
expectantly. Tyreek's mom was up like a shot.
"Yes, doctor."
"He's gonna be fine. We removed 2 bullets and we moved him into ICU. He lost a lot of blood, but he's stable."
"So he's okay?"
said Mrs. Smith.
"Yes. In several weeks, he'll be as good as new. I see no sign of any complications with surgery."
The bullets were easy to remove, and there was no damage to any of his organs, so he should be just fine. We'll be keeping a close eye on him for the next couple of days, but I'm sure he'll be just fine.
"When can I see him, doctor?" said Lita.
"Well, I think we should let his mother see him, and then I think we should let him rest. He's heavily sedated. But tomorrow you can see him."
"Okay. Okay,"
Lita said, upset she couldn't see her man.
"Oh, thank you. Thank you, God, for saving my baby,"
said Rick's mother as she grabbed the doctor's arm.
"You're welcome," he said, liking this woman for recognizing him.
"Lita, come on," Kwa said. "We're going to take you home." Kadir said nothing, just drove thinking about him and Rick laying on the floor in the club together. He was so grateful Tariq was still alive. But thoughts of Black cut deep. He grew up with the man. It seemed like everybody he came up with was dying or in jail. He pulled up alongside of Lita's Cadillac.
"Thanks,"
she said. "We'll follow you home," said Kwa. After leaving Lita's mother's house, Kadir and Gina drove home. The ride seemed longer than before. Kadir's mind was racing over and over the minutes and seconds before the gunfire began. People who had looked at him real weird, or the guy who bumped him. He was the guy shooting too. The whole night was a setup. The entire night. The guy standing on the wall with gaiters on. No women around. Not partying or getting down. He saw all of their faces when the infrared light went on. Gina knew the shit was out of control. She knew her man was not safe, and neither was she. Both were touchable. Both were accessible. And both could have anything waiting for them when they reached home. She looked over at Kwa. Her man was in the zone. Her presence did not surround him, as it usually did. So she just let him sit. Sometimes it's better to just let a person be. No conversation, no radio. As they pulled into the driveway of their lovely home, he finally asked, "Gina, what's it all for?"
"I don't know. I just don't ever want to lose you. Nothing is worth losing you for. Nothing."
"You'd give all this up?"
"To be with you? Please. In the wink of an eye."
The Way Players Play. Jarrell Jackson was riding through Mount Airy in his brand new black Jaguar. Mafi 6-5 read the license plate. He had blown up. And in such a short period of time, he knew he was making enemies, but for some reason, he didn't fear them or care. He checked the time. 45 minutes late, he thought, thanks to some girl he ran across at the bus stop needing a ride. He gave her a ride, too. Went inside the house, talked to the girl for a few minutes, had his way with her, then stepped off into the sunlight. It didn't matter, though. Girls would sit around and wait for him all day if they knew he wanted to see them. And they did want to see him. Be it for the money, be it for his car, be it for who he really was. For whatever reason, they was trying hard to see the boy. Jarrell had a magnificent home up in Monticello County, complete with marble floors and waterfalls. Jarrell pulled into the long, narrow driveway of perfectly landscaped grounds. Everybody was there. He could tell by all the foreign vehicles sitting in his driveway.
"Yo, I'm here," he said, coming through the door.
"What's up?"
Kyrie said, They were surrounding a pizza, which had just been delivered. Everybody shook hands as usual, and Jarrell sat himself down and grabbed his slice.
"What's up?" Rand asked.
"Man, I don't know. You tell me."
"Everything is rolling smooth."
"Money's right," Sam added.
"People are buying weight," Rand informed.
"Everything is fine," said Kyrie, taking a bite of pizza. Jarrell finished the mouthful he had and told them about Kadir's retirement. "He was just trying to get rid of the last little bit of stuff he had. That's why it wasn't no coke moving, remember? The motherfucker was selling keys for 10 G's.
"Kadir ain't quitting, is he?" asked Ran.
"That's what the word is on the street." Jarrell took another bite. "Now," he said, standing up, "if Kwa has stopped, that means you know who is going to take his place," he said, pointing at Ran. "Rick!"
Ran shouted, as if he scored points for the right answer.
"Exactly, which means Rick now has his plus Kadir's piece of the pie. Rick's supposed to be real upset about Black. He told Lita that we was behind it, so now she talking about don't call for a while. She'll just bring Kyrie to my mom's house. Man, I don't know what Rick is calling himself doing with my son, you know?"
"Wait a minute. What did he tell Lita?"
Rand asked.
"He told her that we was behind Black's party and Black getting killed," said Kyrie.
"Like he knows something don't nobody else know," Rand laughed. "What else he say?"
"That's it. I doubt if he would tell Lita anything he was going to do with her having my son, you know," Kyrie said. "Man, he would tell her. The question is, would she tell you?"
Jarrell interrupted. Kyrie just looked at him. Jarrell looked around the room like a general commanding an invasion.
"Let's kidnap 40.
Jarrell waited for the repercussion.
"Kidnap? Why do you want to kidnap him?" Kyrie asked. "Who is running this shit?"
Jarrell just looked at him. He hated the way Kyrie always had something to say behind him. Kyrie, as well as the others, sat around in silence trying to figure out what Jarrell was talking about. There was no need in asking, because if he wanted you to know, he would let you know. It was Christmas Eve. Club Phoenix was packed. Everyone was dressed to impress, and the champagne was flowing. The night was going well. Rick was out with Lita, of course. Rick didn't travel far. Lita didn't let him. Amin and Safa were there. Charlie and 40 were standing in a corner talking to Jamal and some girls. Rick couldn't help himself. He had to walk over. There were girls there. The Muslim brothers arrived like a mob in long coats and brim hats, surrounding Amin as if they were his bodyguards. Brother Ramzadeen, Brother Raymir, and Brother Muhammad were all there. Winston and Blair were over at the bar. Tracy had called Gina to see if she was coming to the Christmas party, but she and Kwa decided to spend the evening at home. Tracy, being as single as she was, couldn't have stayed away from the party if she wanted to. Everybody was there, even the city's football and basketball players. The radio personalities were transmitting live from the party. Andrea, Veronica, Bridget, and Kim were standing together at the open champagne bar, trying to get with somebody else's man. Tracy knew Lita couldn't stand none of them, especially Veronica. As the evening went on, everybody danced and had a good time. Lita mingled while keeping a real close eye on Rick, never losing sight of him for more than a few seconds. Amin and Safa sat at their table. Occasionally, Amin would talk to a girl, but it must have not been for anything because his wife was sitting right next to him. Kim was dancing with Jamal.
"Lord," thought Tracy, "Gina really needs to be here." Jamal was all over Kim, and vice versa.
Some girls acted like they didn't care if guys felt all over their bodies when they danced, but Tracy didn't think it was right. When she was dancing,
She wouldn't let no stranger touch her like that. When she was slow dancing and felt their dicks getting hard, she would just walk off the dance floor. She hated that, especially when it was some broke-ass nigga trying to get his groove on a dance floor. Men, they're so desperate.
Guess who? A man said from behind her, covering her eyes.
I don't know.
Who do you want it to be?
Dr. Dre?
Oh, you just straight played yourself with that one, sis, Quinny Day said, uncovering her eyes.
No, baby, you know I was just joking, she said, really wishing it was Dr. Dre.
No, you wasn't, but it's cool.
Quinny Day was standing there in front of her, looking too good.
I'm joking, Quinny Day. You know who I'm trying to see, said Tracy. You, boy. You.
Don't be playing games, Tracy.
Quinny, please. You know I take you personal.
Hi, Quinny Day.
Tracy heard a girl's voice and turned to see Bridget. She looked horrible. Her outfit was cheap. Her makeup looked worn, and she had bags under her eyes. After Quinny brushed her off, he and Tracy looked at each other.
Damn, she needs to find another fool, like Black had to be to fuck with her trick ass, cause sis is going down,
Quinny said, looking at Tracy real serious.
I heard the money ain't been right since Black got killed, Tracy said.
Her simple retarded ass should have something, he said.
Like he had a will? He didn't bequeath nothing to her.
Huh? Said Quinny Day.
I said he didn't leave her anything.
So why did he have to leave her anything? She should have saved something for a rainy day. Come on. You females aren't slow, just stupid. Yo, would Gina be messed up?
Quinny Day asked.
No, of course not. Okay, then. Besides, even if Black didn't leave her nothing, she got herself. If I was a woman, there wouldn't be no way my Black ass would ever be broke.
Rick was on the dance floor with some girl. He was getting drunk, but he hadn't lost his mind yet. Of course, Lita was walking around looking for him. Veronica, a true blue slut with a capital S on her chest, danced with another guy over to the right of him. She always thought she was playing somebody, but the truth of the matter was, she wasn't playing nobody but herself. Rick took a closer look, and damn if it wasn't 40 dancing with her.
Hey, 40, he called out.
Veronica didn't look, because she had already spotted Rick and knew how he was. They were straight up playing on the dance floor. Rick couldn't help but to watch them. Most people couldn't do nothing but watch them. Veronica and 40 was doing some serious grinding out there, and the thing about it was, while she was dancing with him, another guy on the dance floor came and danced behind her, even pushed up next to her while she was already pressed up onto 40. Girls couldn't stand Veronica, and guys were always in her face, but talked about her behind her back like she was nothing. Trying to tell Veronica about herself was a waste of energy. She liked getting attention so much that you can tell that's really what she was after. Someone to look at her, and that's exactly what guys did. Look at her, play mind games on her, and always give her attention, the kind of attention she really didn't need. 40 was all over her. Ra's son thought he was getting ready to pull her skirt up and start fucking her. He'd already flashed her tit to everybody on the dance floor. The girl was drunk, and she needed somebody to get her ass